Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
Although coal production has been the economic backbone of this region, it has had far-reaching environmental effects, leaving former mine sites in central Appalachia that are abandoned, unmanaged, or bereft of trees and native species. Today, there are approximately 750,000 acres of non-forested, unused land that has been surface mined. In Appalachia, the estimated total surface mine area is 1.5 million acres. The American Chestnut Foundation and Green Forest Work are two organizations developing an innovative approach to making these vast swaths of land ecologically and economically viable.
Yeah, me and Nathan and the Virginia Department of Forestry guys worked for 3 or 4 days up here doing nothing but cutting and spraying autumn olive. You'll see how we've cleared the land out so that we could get a bulldozer in there to rip it all up and plant the high-value hardwoods afterwards.
That's Mike French of the American Chestnut Foundation, a nonprofit based in Virginia working to restore the American chestnut, a tree that once dominated the eastern woodland forest before a blight decimated it around the turn of the century. We're headed to a former strip mining job with Nathan Hall of Green Forest Work, a spinoff of the Appalachian Regional Reforestation Initiative.
So we're on our way to the Freddie Mullins Reforestation Site in Dickinson County, Virginia, which is right in the far southwestern corner of Virginia. There's only a few counties in Virginia that are really heavily coal-producing counties, and Dickinson is definitely one of them.
Through a conservation innovation grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the American Chestnut Foundation is leading hardwood tree plantings at 6 former coal production sites and a few active mine sites in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Virginia, West Virginia, and Kentucky. The plantings, like the reforestation jobs of Green Forest Work, utilize the forestry reclamation approach, replacing low-value species with high-value hardwood. The goal of this type of remediation is to restore ecosystem services and provide economic opportunities. For example, today the annual value of the timber industry in central Appalachia is $23 billion, but projects like this are trying to show that it could be more.
What do you think? Should I go bow-docking through the hayfield?
Oh yeah, there isn't really a way to go from the carport exactly, is there?
Well, there's a little road down below that we could take there, but otherwise we're gonna be hoofing it. I know.
We curve around a few hairpin and switchback turns, pass a cluster of beehives and a few houses, eventually stopping just past a private residence surrounded by acres of fescue grass.
Because otherwise we're gonna be walking through this tick-infested nightmare.
I think you could drive through that, honestly.
You want me to drive through it?
There's a few mountains in the distance and a flat field that looks barren from afar. That's the site of a recent hardwood tree planting. Many former mining sites are a lot like this one, kind of hard to get to, and there aren't clear roads or uses for the area.
We've never done this where we can't actually see.
That's all right, we're there. So let me just stop outside the gate.
We arrive at a field of tiny trees protected by 2-foot tree shelters. Mineland reclamation is required by law as part of the Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act, called SMCRA, enacted in 1977. Under SMCRA, coal companies pay a bond on the land they will mine, and that money is returned once reclamation has occurred. Typically, coal companies spend less than 1% of their revenue reclaiming the land. In the eastern U.S., it takes 5 years to be released from the bond to ensure vegetation is growing. Out west, the length of time is 10 years. Companies are also taxed a fraction of a dollar per ton of mined coal. The money is pooled to address abandoned mine sites from before 1977, as well as bond forfeiture sites. Reclamation practices have changed over the years, as scientists and policymakers have rethought best practices.
They hydro seed a mix of various grasses and things, and that's why it almost looks like it's been kind of painted green on those lower areas. Nowadays, they're using a better seed mix than they used to, but for years and years, they would intentionally seed out a lot of what we see on this site, which is like Chinese lesbedeza and European fescue and various things that don't belong here. Some of that is no longer allowed, but I mean, from the late 70s through the early 2000s, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres of land throughout Appalachia were surface mined and then reclaimed with these exotic seed mixes. So that's why we have this sort of alien environment on most of these sites.
An alien environment that often has little economic or ecological uses.
The vegetation that we grew, it is effective as far as keeping some of the soil in place and stuff, and it comes back every year. It does hold the ground, but it don't benefit the soil any. It don't benefit any of the wildlife. It don't benefit anything. The only thing that vegetation that we were planting at the time done was release the mine from the bond.
That's Dave Fisher sitting with me in his front yard in Cowan in Letcher County. Fisher worked with his dad hydro seeding starting in the late 90s. You can hear us scratching at mosquitoes as we talk.
I mean, this was years ago. This was like you planted a lot of Kentucky 31 fescue. You can't even plant it now. It's outlawed. And, you know, didn't do a whole lot of trees. They didn't do a whole lot of restoring the wood, any of the wood. The pines, the poplar, the oak, any of it. They just wanted the dirt to stay in place for 5 years. So the thing said, well, we done our part. There's a hillside back, and it's yours.
Land reforested with diverse native forests is more common now, though. Still, post-mining land uses such as fish and wildlife habitat are only nominally meaningful. They're hospitable to only a few generalist species. Where we're standing today, though, at that site in Virginia, looks very different. Hall says the goal of the pilot project is remediation as opposed to the minimal reclamation of the past, the kind of work Dave Fisher did.
This is a 30-acre American chestnut restoration site.
At the site, there are 600 chestnuts planted in a one-acre plot and another 30 acres of mixed hardwoods that include chestnuts.
As you can probably hear in the background, we have some active mountaintop removal just on the next ridge over. So there's rock trucks dumping out big loads of what they call overburden. That's it falling down the mountain right there. So that's a big chunk of a mountain sliding down. And that's in the active mining phase, and they'll be doing the reclamation on it later.
It stands in sharp contrast to the peak just adjacent to it, where Hall, French, and I are standing. Here, they are working to repopulate the American chestnut, which was once the tallest tree in the region. A fungus began leaving strained, rusty cankers on the chestnuts in the northeast, and the blight quickly spread around the eastern U.S. Many consider the loss of the chestnut to be the greatest ecological disaster of the 20th century. Today, these trees rarely make it beyond the size of a shrub because of the fungus. Here's Mike French again.
The old-timers used to say that when the chestnuts were in bloom in June and July, it looked like the ridge tops were covered with snow because of all of the chestnut flowers. Well, when you look around at the surface mines today, that's where most of them are, is up high where chestnuts were formerly dominant. So putting them back to where they were initially dominant just kind of makes sense.
So coal country and the former range of the American chestnut overlap perfectly.
If you're working on an active operation, if they put the right surface material up top and they leave it nice and loose, they're not in competition with other trees like you would have in a forest setting. Say you had done a clear cut and they're competing against all of those other trees that are sprouting and already have root systems developed. If we can establish little founder populations all throughout chestnut's range, on surface mines, you know, it may help us to reach forests that we might not otherwise be able to plant in.
But not any old chestnut can just be planted in their former range, because the blight still persists. For nearly 30 years, the American Chestnut Foundation has been working to backcross the American genes with the shrubby squatter Chinese chestnut that harbors resistance to the blight. To develop a tree that could potentially thrive, the resulting tree is 15/16 American and 1/16 Chinese. The trees have been crossed and backcrossed to maintain the desirable timber and nut-producing American characteristics and the blight resistance the Asiatic tree carries. People like French are pretty excited to see the genetically crossed trees making it in the wild, even if they're only a few months old.
Let's walk up here, actually. I'd like to take a look at some of my chestnuts. I just wanted to see how they're doing now that they're leafed out.
This one's almost out of the top of the shelf, but it's right here.
When did you plant these?
I think it was March 2nd. Planted all of these as chestnut seed. The volunteers managed to plant 625 chestnuts as seed, and then we put these 2-foot tree shelters around them to protect them from rabbits and mice and all the other critters out there. Everything comes to eat it immediately. Raccoons, once they realize that you've put that chestnut on the ground, they'll push the shelter over and reach underneath and pull it out. We've had people use shorter shelters, and turkeys would stick their necks down in the tube and eat the chestnut out of it. I did a planting without shelters one time on an active site, thinking, you know, there aren't going to be any mice here. But the mice moved in and ate about 90% of the seed that I had planted. So now every time I plant, I use a 2-foot tree shelter if I'm doing direct seeding, which is what this whole area was.
Sounds like the world is against a chestnut.
Well, chestnuts have a lot going for them too, though. They are a fast-growing tree compared to a lot of other species. In our breeding orchards, we can get them to start producing male flowers within 2 or 3 years. Sometimes they'll start producing nuts in 4 or 5 years. So we can get a generation of trees out in, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. Whereas if you had another tree species, you know, something that takes a long time to actually begin flowering and producing seed, say 15, 20 years, we wouldn't get a generation for 15 or 20 years.
These plantings are the biggest effort to date populating large areas with the restoration chestnuts. Though even this site, which was bulldozed and ripped up, is far from perfect.
Yeah, it's a little bit flat right now. The mining company, they have to restore the land to what they call approximate original contour. And this would have approximated the original contour, but it doesn't look like a lot of the hills of Appalachia still.
Groups like Halls and Fringes hope that these former coal sites can be made productive forests. That's why they're promoting strip mine remediation in this region as crucial to economic growth.
And so if you look at the whole process of surface mining, all the costs and the profits that go into that whole system, and then the way that the lands are usually, the state that the lands are usually in immediately after mining, you know, they're left in a fairly compromised state. And it's true that there is a fairly high cost associated with going back to these lands and making them able to grow American chestnuts and other kinds of trees. But really, one way to look at it is that it's a little bit of an upfront cost that has a very long-term payback.
Some, like Virginia Cooperative Extension, estimate that mine land reclaimed using the forestry reclamation approach of planting hardwoods could generate an average of $6,800 an acre in sustainable timber sales versus traditional reclamation approaches that yield far less wood volume. Other ecosystem services like carbon sequestration and water quality could have actual value as well.
Even though it may cost us $1,000 to $1,300 an acre just to go back and rip up these sites with a big bulldozer, mitigate that compaction, knock back these exotic, aggressive species, and then to plant these seedlings on such a large scale, even though it may be 60 or 70 years before some of the oaks and hickories and things we're planting are going to be harvestable, we still have so many other benefits that are going to be occurring throughout those several decades. Air quality improvement, water quality improvement, carbon sequestration, wildlife habitat creation for threatened species. And we're going to be producing actual nuts, you know, from some of these species in the meantime as well, which is going to be wildlife food and potentially human food. So it's really a long-term investment in the region to go back and do this kind of work, and especially when we're bringing something back that used to be such an integral part of the forest throughout this region.
And the hope is that reforestation and remediation can have innovative uses and far-reaching economic impact for Central Appalachia. Eventually, organizations like Green Forest Works hope to employ more people to reforest these sites, and they say they're already able to engage a broad range of volunteers in their work. And of course, the chestnut plantings are unprecedented in bringing back a plant that used to inhabit 20% of eastern woodland forests from Florida to Maine.
Isn't it beautiful? It's almost 2 feet tall and only 3 months old. What do you think?
That's from seed?
Yeah, from seed.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
I saw it earlier. I saw the shadow of the leaves on the tube. And I had to come over and see it. There's a good one right there, too.
As the coal mining is moving away from this area and moving out west to Montana and Wyoming, we're left with a big question of what we do. To me, there's a big opportunity to get people back to work doing restoration and remediation of these lands in a way that's going to provide jobs, but also provide more of a sense of cultural identity. And this is just the beginning of what Green Forest Work is doing, especially with our partnership with the American Chestnut Foundation. And we're really hoping to start scaling this up in a big way throughout the future.
Reporting for WMMT, I'm Jonna McCone in Whitesburg.
Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT, Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.